Welcome to the deep dive. Like, it wasn't that long ago that if you needed, say, a cardiologist or maybe an orthopedic surgeon or a therapist, you just lean over the fence and ask your neighbor for a recommendation.
Right, or you'd call up a family member and see who they use.
Exactly. But today, I mean, you don't ask your neighbor. You open Google, and that behavioral shift has created a truly staggering reality.
It really has.
In 2025, healthcare and pharma digital ad spending hit $24.7 billion, and that is billion with a B.
Yeah, it's a massive number. And I think it illustrates the modern patient journey perfectly,
How so?
Well, people are navigating fear, uncertainty, these incredibly complex insurance networks, and they're just funneling all of that vulnerability directly into a search bar.
Which brings us to the mission for today's deep dive. We are unpacking this fascinating guide by Scopic Studios on healthcare PPC, so pay-per-click advertising.
It's such a crucial topic right now.
It is, because it presents this amazing paradox for anyone listening. You see, healthcare is one of the highest spend advertising verticals out there, but it is simultaneously one of the most heavily restricted.
Right, and those restrictions force a lot of marketers into one of two extremes.
Which are?
Either they become completely paralyzed by compliance fears, they over-restrict themselves and just abandon patient acquisition entirely, or on the flip side, they rush in blindly.
And I imagine rushing in blindly does not end well in healthcare.
Not at all. They violate platform policies, and then they face catastrophic ad disapprovals, domain suspensions, and just massive legal exposure.
That sounds like an absolute minefield. But here is the promise to you listening right now. You do not need to be a medical marketer to find this fascinating.
No, absolutely not.
Because what we are really looking at today is essentially a masterclass in navigating complex bureaucratic rules. It's about understanding human psychology under stress and finding that hidden third option for success when the system just seems totally rigged against you.
What's fascinating here is that this isn't just a conversation about digital ads or, cost per click metrics.
Right.
It's fundamentally about the intersection of privacy, technology, and patient care. It's about how our most sensitive information flows when we are at our most vulnerable.
Okay, so let's unpack this because we need to establish what advertisers are actually so afraid of and why that fear is, well, usually completely misplaced.
Yeah, there is this overarching dread of compliance in the industry.
So Google's health advertising policy operates on a three-tier structure, right? Tier one is outright prohibited. I mean, you can't guarantee surgical results. You can't use misleading claims like cure your diabetes in 30 days.
Exactly. And you can't use shock value or graphic imagery. But honestly, that tier is simply about basic consumer safety and truth in advertising.
Makes sense. Nobody wants graphic surgery photos while they're eating breakfast.
Right. The actual panic sets in at tier two. That is the category for restricted content requiring legit script certification.
Legit script. I've heard this name whispered like it's a curse word.
It kind of is for some people. LegitScript is a really rigorous, highly detailed third-party certification process. It's designed to verify that a healthcare merchant is operating legally and transparently.
Okay, but hearing how most general practices react to LegitScript, it sounds like local family doctors are showing up to a standard checkup wearing a full level four hazmat suit.
There's the perfect way to put it.
Like they are completely over-preparing for a threat that isn't actually in the room with them.
Yes, because the biggest myth in healthcare marketing is that every single medical entity needs that LegitScript certification to run ads.
Wait, they don't.
No, they don't. General medical practices, your local GP, dentists, therapists, physiotherapy clinics, even most specialized surgical centers, they bypass LegitScript entirely.
Wow, which is a huge aha moment because it frees up so much operational bandwidth.
Exactly. I mean, LegitScript was built to police very specific high-risk sectors. We're talking online pharmacies, telemedicine platforms, prescribing controlled substances, addiction treatment facilities, and pharmaceutical manufacturers.
So if your practice doesn't fall into one of those high-risk buckets, you just default to tier three.
You do, which basically means you just have to comply with standard, honest advertising policies.
But because people completely misunderstand the structure, they get terrified. They write these incredibly cautious, boring, sterilized ads that just fail to convert anyone.
Right, they self-censor too much.
But wait, if LegitScript isn't the boogeyman getting regular dentists and GPs banned, what is actually triggering all these account suspensions?
It almost always comes down to the ad copy tripping automated platform filters. And there are three main traps here. The The first is unsupported superlative.
Like saying you're the greatest doctor in the world.
Pretty much. If an ad says, "We are the best orthopedic surgeon in Dallas," well, Google's algorithm will immediately flag and disapprove it.
Unless you have proof, right?
Right, unless there is objective, third-party, verifiable proof linked directly on your landing page. But people usually don't have that.
Okay, what's the second trap?
The second trap is implying a diagnosis.
Oh, this one actually surprised me when I read the source material. The realization that you cannot ask, "Do you have anxiety?" in your ad copy.
You really can't.
Yeah.
You cannot imply that you, the advertiser, know the viewer has a specific sensitive health condition.
Because it's creepy.
Basically. The ad platforms consider it invasive, and it triggers their sensitive targeting policies. You got to frame the copy around the service you provide, not the user's personal state.
Okay, and the third trap?
The third trap is vague or exaggerated weight loss claims. Things like, lose 30 pounds in 30 days. That will get an account suspended almost instantly.
So the takeaway here for the listener is a total pivot in copywriting strategy. You have to stop writing fearful copy, but you also need to avoid making grandiose promises.
Yes, exactly.
Like instead of trying to say, "Cure your back pain today," you pivot to something factual, objective, and benefit-driven, like a minimally invasive back treatment. Most patients return to work in days.
Spot on. You replace the guaranteed medical outcome with logistical trust signals. So you use phrases like board certified or 4.9 star rating, same day appointments available, accepting new patients.
Because those aren't medical claims.
Right. They're inherently compliant because they're statements of fact about the business, not promises about the patient's biology. And frankly, they convert much better because they address the patient's immediate friction points.
Okay, so if the ad copy itself isn't the true compliance nightmare-like, if you just stick to the facts and avoid diagnosing people through a screen, then where is the actual legal danger?
Oh, the danger is completely invisible. It's in the data pipeline.
Explain that.
The single biggest bombshell here is that HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, does not actually regulate your search ads. It regulates the data flowing around those ads.
So the risk isn't the billboard itself. It's the invisible string connecting the person looking at the billboard back to the hospital.
That invisible string is the tracking pixel. To measure success, every digital marketer puts a snippet of code, like a standard Google or Meta pixel, on their website.
Right, to see if the ad works.
Exactly. The mechanism is simple. A user clicks an ad, they land on the site, and the pixel fires to tell the platform, "Hey, this click resulted in a visit."
Sounds standard. What's the issue?
The problem is how that pixel operates. It fires the moment a page loads, and it aggressively scrapes the page's metadata, the URL, and even user inputs.
Walk us through how that inadvertently captures protected health information, or PHI.
Okay, imagine a user clicks an ad and navigates to a specific service page. The URL of that page is, say, yourclinic.com/appointments/severe depression therapy.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah. The tracking pixel scrapes that exact URL and transmits it back to Meta or Google to log the event. In that fraction of a second, the pixel just transmitted a specific medical condition tied directly to a user's IP address, device ID, and browser profile.
That is terrifying.
It gets worse. Consider form submissions. A patient fills out a consultation form, and the pixel captures their full name right alongside the drop-down menu where they selected oncology consultation.
But wait, tech giants process sensitive data all the time, right? They have mountains of it. Can't the medical practice just get Google or Meta to sign a privacy agreement, secure the data, and be done with it?
You would think so, but no. Under IMPA, if a covered entity like a medical practice shares PHI with a third-party vendor, that vendor must legally sign a business associate agreement, a BAA.
Right, I've heard of those.
Yeah, it's a binding contract stating the vendor assumes legal liability for protecting that data. Neither Google Ads nor Meta will sign a BAA for their tracking pixels. They flat out refuse.
Because the liability for them would be astronomical.
Staggering. It would be impossible to manage. So the moment your standard pixel transmits that URL with the word depression in it back to Meta's servers, you've created a massive federal liability. You have shared patient data with an unauthorized third party without a BAA.
So how do you track if your ad spend is actually working without breaking federal law? I mean, marketers need data.
There are three technical solutions to this. The gold standard is server-side tracking. Instead of the pixel firing directly from the user's browser to Google servers, you route the data to your own private, secure server first.
Oh, so it's like a bouncer at the door of a data club?
Exactly. A very strict bouncer. On your server, you run a script that actively strips away the PHI. It deletes the medical terms from the URL, it hashes or drops the names, and then it forwards a clean, totally anonymous payload to the ad platforms.
So Google gets the conversion signal, but they don't get the medical context.
Exactly.
What about practices that don't have the IT infrastructure to build a custom server-side bouncer?
That's where IPA-compliant middleware comes in. Platforms like Freshpaint or HubSpot Healthcare sit between your website and the ad networks.
And they filter the data for you.
Yes, but they operate on an allow list model rather than a block list. By default, they block every single piece of data from leaving your site. You have to manually toggle on which anonymous data points are allowed to pass through to Meta or Google.
That sounds much safer.
It is. And crucially, the companies building this middleware will sign a BAA with the practice.
Okay, let's say a small single provider clinic is listening right now. They can't afford enterprise middleware. They don't have an IT team. What is the minimum viable approach here?
The minimum viable approach requires ruthless event configuration. You completely disable page load tracking. You never fire a pixel on a form submission.
Wow, never.
Never. The only time a conversion pixel is allowed to fire is on a completely generic, isolated thank you page.
So after they book the appointment.
Yes, and the URL must be just / thank you.
Yeah.
No medical terms, no dynamic parameters, absolutely zero health information present on the page.
Wow. Okay. So once you've built this completely anonymous, secure pipeline for your data, you suddenly hit a new wall. Because the ad platforms receiving that data have totally changed the rules on who you can target.
Yeah.
Meta had a massive shakeup recently, didn't they?
A seismic shift. Meta completely removed detailed health-based targeting from their platform.
Really? All of it?
Yep. You used to be able to go into Facebook's ad manager and explicitly target users based on medical treatment interests, specific chronic conditions, or even disability status. All of that was wiped out to protect user privacy.
Which makes total sense ethically, but I imagine it caught a lot of healthcare advertisers completely off guard. Like, if I can't target diabetes interests, how do I reach patients who need endocrine care?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it didn't kill Facebook advertising for healthcare. It just forced a migration away from granular targeting toward algorithmic broad targeting.
What does that look like in practice?
The practices winning on Meta now rely heavily on demographics, age, gender, zip code. They layer on broad wellness interests, like healthy living or nutrition, and let the ad creative do the filtering.
Wait, I need to understand this. A major strategy now is using lookalike audiences based on first-party data, right?
Yes, it's incredibly effective.
But if I'm not allowed to share PHI with Meta, how does Meta know who to show my ad to in a lookalike audience?
Ah, it relies on cryptographic hashing.
Okay, now we're getting technical.
It's simpler than it sounds. You take your compliant first-party patient list, say 1,000 email addresses of past patients. Before that list ever leaves your secure environment, the data is hashed. It is turned into an irreversible string of text.
So Meta can't read the emails.
Right. Meta receives those encrypted strings and matches them against its own database. It doesn't know why these 1,000 people are grouped together. It doesn't know they're endocrinology patients.
It just knows they are a group.
Yes. Then Meta's algorithm looks at thousands of non-medical behavioral data points. You know, what time they log on, their median income, the types of non-medical articles they read. And it finds a million other users who exhibit the exact same behavioral patterns.
That is brilliant. You are targeting behavioral twins without ever transmitting a medical diagnosis.
Exactly. It uses the platform's sheer scale to your advantage while maintaining total privacy.
But Meta is still primarily for top-of-funnel awareness, right? Like when someone tears their ACL or they need an urgent care clinic right now, they aren't scrolling Instagram waiting to be targeted by a lookalike audience.
Very true. Google search dominates high-intent queries. Plastic surgeon near me, urgent care open now, book knee replacement consultation. Google captures the patient at the exact millisecond they are making a medical decision.
And there is an underdog platform here that blew my mind when I read the guide. Google Local Services Ads, or LSAs.
Oh, LSAs flip the traditional model entirely. Standard Google search ads operate on a pay-per-click basis. If someone clicks your ad, sees you don't take their insurance, and bounces 3 seconds later, you still pay for the click.
Which hurts. But LSAs are different.
LSAs are pay-per-lead.
Oh, wow. So you only pay if they actually pick up the phone and call you or submit a valid message.
Exactly. And they feature a highly visible Google verified badge. They sit at the absolute top of the search results, pushing standard text ads down the page.
That seems like a no-brainer for local clinics.
It really is. For local practices, the compliance friction is incredibly low compared to standard PPC, making it a massive, underutilized opportunity.
We also need to talk about B2B healthcare. Let's say a hospital isn't looking for patients, they are looking for referrals from local cardiologists.
That requires account-based marketing, and LinkedIn is the unmatched ecosystem for it. You aren't guessing with keywords there.
You can just target the doctors directly.
Yes. On LinkedIn, a hospital can upload a specific roster of 50 regional clinics they want referrals from. They can explicitly target the chief of cardiology or practice manager at those exact facilities.
So you are delivering highly technical peer-to-peer content directly to the decision makers. The cost per click has to be astronomical, though, right?
It is significantly higher than Google or Meta. But the audience quality is completely sterile. You aren't paying for clicks from medical students researching a paper.
Right.
You are paying to put your referral program directly in front of the specific physician who controls the patient pipeline.
Okay, so getting the click safely on the right platform is only half the battle. Now we need to not waste the budget. How do you actually win the patient's trust without setting your marketing dollars on fire?
It requires a psychological shift from ego betting to intent betting.
Ego betting, I like that phrase.
It's the biggest mistake practices make. They open a keyword research tool, they see a phrase with massive search volume, and they aggressively bid on it because they want to dominate the market.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, and I actually want to push back on this. Let's say the keyword tool says symptoms of knee pain gets 100,000 searches a month in a specific state.
Okay.
Why shouldn't a local orthopedic group just dump all their budget into that phrase? Isn't capturing maximum eyeballs the fundamental rule of advertising?
Not in healthcare. High search volume almost always correlates with low commercial intent. Someone typing symptoms of knee pain is in the pure awareness stage.
They're just researching.
Right. They might have tweaked their knee on a run and want to know if they should use ice or heat. They're looking for a Wikipedia article, not a surgeon. If you bid on that, you are paying a premium for people who are nowhere near ready to book an appointment.
You want to intercept them much later in the journey.
Exactly. You save your aggressive bidding for the decision stage. The classic example is a long tail keyword like minimally invasive lumbar discectomy specialist, Chicago.
The search volume on a phrase that complex has to be tiny.
Minuscule. Maybe 50 searches a month. But the commercial intent is massive.
Because they know exactly what they need.
Right. The person typing that long tail phrase already knows their diagnosis, they know the specific surgical intervention they require, and they are actively looking for a local provider to perform it.
And they are ready to book.
Exactly. You might pay double the cost per click for that phrase, but the conversion rate, the percentage of those clicks that turn into actual book surgeries, is exponentially higher.
You also have to control where those ads show up geographically, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Medical practices are fundamentally hyper-local businesses. Patients will only travel so far. There is a brilliant 80-20 rule for geo-targeting.
Let's hear it.
Allocate 80% of your ad budget strictly to proven, high-converting zip codes based on your existing patient data. Then, use the remaining 20% to run controlled tests in adjacent expanding territories.
That makes total sense. If you just draw a 50-mile radius around your clinic, you are paying for clicks from people who will never drive past three closer competitors to reach you.
Exactly. It's just wasted budget.
Okay, so you dial in the intent, you strictly geo-target the right zip codes, the patient clicks the ad, and then the practice commits the ultimate, most expensive mistake in healthcare marketing. They send the click to their homepage.
Oh, it destroys the entire campaign.
Sending a highly specific PPC click to a generic homepage is like dropping a patient with a broken arm into a massive hospital lobby with no signs, no reception desk, and just expecting them to magically find the orthopedic ward on the fourth floor.
That is exactly what it feels like for the user. It creates instant cognitive overload. A homepage is just a directory.
Right.
It is designed for job seekers looking for the careers page, current patients trying to find the billing portal, and vendors looking for contact info. A paid ad click needs to land on a dedicated, isolated landing page designed for one specific patient with one specific medical need.
So what are the mechanical elements of a landing page that actually converts?
First, it has to establish immediate clinical trust. Provider credentials, photos, board certifications, years of experience, they must be above the fold.
Before they even scroll down.
Right. Before the user even scrolls, they need to verify the human being they are trusting their body to.
Because you're not buying a consumer product. The stakes are completely physical.
Exactly. Next, the page architecture must prioritize speed. The vast majority of healthcare searches happen on mobile devices, often on cellular networks, rather than Wi-Fi.
And if it's slow?
If the page takes 4 seconds to load, the patient is gone. Finally, the page must feature one singular call to action: book an appointment online or call our office now.
Don't give them options.
Nope. If you give them links to your blog, your social media, and your newsletter, you dilute the intent and lose the conversion.
You point them straight to the room they need. Practices capturing this multi-billion-dollar opportunity aren't the ones blindly throwing money at Google for high-volume generic keywords so they can stroke their egos.
Definitely not.
And they certainly aren't the ones hiding in a corner terrified of LegitScript.
No, the winners are highly tactical. They map their keyword bids strictly to patient intent. They prioritize investing in hyper-compliant tracking middleware so they can actually measure their data safely.
And they build trust instantly.
Right. They build immediate trust by routing traffic through highly specific, dedicated landing pages.
When you execute that framework, the return on investment is incredibly compelling, isn't it?
The data absolutely bears it out. The average conversion rate for healthcare search ads sits around 8.09%.
Which is really solid.
It is. When you calculate your cost per acquisition against the lifetime value of a patient, which for many specialized practices sits between $2,000 and $5,000, hitting a 3-to-1 return on ad spend is a highly achievable baseline.
Mm-hmm. It really shifts patient acquisition from a guessing game into a measurable science. But, you know, we've spent this entire time unpacking hyper-optimized digital tracking, server-side data scrubbing, algorithmic look-alike audiences, and keyword intent matrices to capture patients navigating profound fear and uncertainty.
We have. It's a lot of tech.
Which is technically brilliant. But it raises a profound question for you to mull over.
This raises an important question indeed.
So what does this all mean? As medical practices get better and better at treating patient acquisition as a purely algorithmic, data-driven science, do we risk sanitizing the fundamental human empathy of healthcare before the patient even walks through the clinic doors?
It's a valid concern. If the absolute first interaction a patient has with a healer is just a perfectly optimized, frictionless conversion funnel, where does the human element begin?
Because at the end of the day, when you're looking for that doctor, you're not just an encrypted data point passing through server-side middleware. You're a person in a lobby looking for someone to help.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the systems around you. Keep looking for that third option and keep learning. We'll catch you next time.